Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 13th of April. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Stacy Eads. Good morning.
Good morning.
You found a buddy, huh?
I did.
Oh, okay. You want to introduce her or you want me to try?
I'd be happy to introduce her.
Okay.
I have this morning Michaela Pellerin with me. She's a victim advocate in our District Attorney Victim Witness Division.
Hello.
Hello. Victim advocate?
Yes.
Okay. I know that's jargony.
Yes.
So... what does that mean?
So it means kind of, I guess, like a multitude of things, but generally it's our main job and our main focus is assisting victims of crime through the criminal justice system. So explaining everything that's going on, answering any questions, helping with some resources, kind of being a liaison between the DAs and deputy DAs to kind of ease them in and just help them through the process in general and advocate for their voice in the system.
So you're there by their side?
Yep.
Okay. did you give her any indication that...
I warned her, yes.
She did.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Okay.
I did warn her about the picture, but I did warn her about the trivia.
Oh, yeah, well, the duck will come into play later on also.
Okay.
All right. So why do we say flack?
Flack?
Yeah, like someone gets a little flack.
I told you.
It makes you think of like big jeans, but that's probably not it. Like if your jeans are too long, like flack? No? You tell me.
Holy cow. I mean, there's like. Wow.
It might be generational, Brian.
Maybe.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
But. All right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Fashion statement. All right. Anytime you rise a little above the crowd by virtue of achievement or election, you had better be prepared to take some flack. Criticism and blame go with the territory. Aviators learned the original meaning of flack during World War I. I don't think this was fashion-based. German engineering and technology were combined to produce a new kind of gun. Specifically designed to bring down aircraft, the German name for it... Oh, no. It's about half a line long. Okay, we'll just pass on that. Do either of you speak German?
No.
No.
I mean,
no.
You can't muddle your way through it. It's
going to pretend.
No.
Flagger, but... Oh, no. No chance. It's about 25 letters, however. Oh. Allies who considered the skies safe soon learned better. It didn't take long to find out that where those high-flying bullets were coming from. Few tried to master, the humongous name of the German gun. they simply abbreviated its name and applied it to high-altitude shots. Always dangerous and frequently lethal, by definition, flak is assumed to be discharged from enemy territory. Yeah, well, I kind of bungled that one up, huh?
Well.
I mean, literally, it was about a three-inch word. What is the biggest misnomer about victims of crime, what they have to go through?
I would say, I think that, well, something I say to a lot of our clients and, you know, the victims and survivors that we deal with is that, you know, everybody loves a good crime show, and there are a lot of misconceptions that come from, like, those kind of crime shows. It seems like it's going to be a quick, done process. If we have, you know, substantial evidence, it's going to be done, you know, kind of a one and done, and it shouldn't take that long because we have everything. It's a long process, and so they're a part of the system for, you know, can be an extended period of time. So it's really important to have like a support system with them, and we're a part of that also. But I think just the amount of time that it takes is something that a lot of people don't expect, and people can get burnt out easily, but it is, you know, a part of the process, and we're doing it for a reason to try and get them the justice that they deserve for themselves and the community as a whole also.
Is there a typical time frame? A couple months, couple years, something in between that folks could anticipate?
It certainly depends on the case.
I think that's fair to say. Yeah. It was looking at me, but it really does vary, and every case presents its own unique set of circumstances. And so who the perpetrator was, what the particular evidence might be, the nature of the crime, the history that might present with the set of circumstances, and you know, whether there are issues such as mental health that might trigger the need for evaluations and more in terms of the process that can, you know, cause significant delays if you're just looking at it from the arraignment to the ultimate disposition of the case.
Yeah. And so we try really hard as the advocates as well, alongside with our deputy DAs and investigators, of just managing that expectation so nobody comes in thinking it's going to be, you know, quick.
60 minutes.
Right.
Or 30 minutes,
right.
Depending
right.
on
right.
What,
right.
what your show is.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think, sorry, I have to pipe in, but I think also the reality of it is there's never really an end. I mean,
right.
there certainly is a beginning, but it's something that people who have been victimized by crime, that's forever with mm-hmm. them, and that's always going to be there. And likewise, in terms of just looking at the court process, even, you know, following conviction, sentencing, then of course there's appeals and right. subsequent hearings and potential release issues.
Right.
So it really just does typically, in particular for the more violent and serious offenses, go on for years.
Yeah.
Is the system, you guys might not want to touch this one, is the system designed for the victim or the perpetrator?
Okay, so I'll go. conceptually, it should be designed for everyone,
right.
so society as a whole. And I think that, you know, working from the district attorney's perspective, where we are, you know, trying to support the victims and address their needs, we oftentimes do feel that there is a lack of balance, and that there is there are more protections in place for the accused. And I think that some, to a certain degree, is the justice system that we as Americans have chosen to adopt. So with the burdens of proof, we are certainly sometimes facing significant challenges in helping our victims.
It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michaela Pellerin and Stacey Eads from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. How much jargon is there that victims have to wade through to really grasp what's going on around them as the process unfolds?
Yeah, so there is a good amount of legal jargon, but I think one that our attorneys do a good job of either not necessarily using, like if there's certain acronyms or stuff like that, I think that they do a good job of trying to use like the full thing. Or if they are talking about stuff in court and there is a lot of jargon, oftentimes they'll step out with the victim and the advocate, or the advocate will just take them aside afterwards and say, hey, like that was a little jumbly and strange and very legally. This is what it means. This is what happened. So that's a big part of our job too, is like, hey, those words are kind of strange. You know, what the heck is a preliminary hearing? What is, you know, what are all of these things? What is a 1050? What are all these things? And so explaining those so that they understand the process.
because it can be just a lot of like days looking of like, okay, and then we step out and they're like, so what happened?
Days, D-A-Z-E.
Yes. And, you know, kind of they're processing information, but not fully comprehending what it is. Because one, they're in a traumatic situation having to, you know, relive, you know, a terrible thing that happened to them. And then they're in a room of people that they don't know and, you know, in suits and they're talking and, you know, they're not necessarily conferring with them right then and there in court. So it can get confusing and frustrating, but that's what our deputy DAs are very, very good about, being personable with them and having interactions with them and speaking with them, as well as us speaking with them, because we're kind of their main point of contact.
Is part of the game for the other side to confuse?
I don't know. To say, I don't know what the strategy is behind that, or if there is strategy.
Well, I would think your jargon typically locks people up anyway, because you don't want to answer or appear like you don't know what's going on.
Totally.
And all of a sudden, here comes all, like you said, the acronyms, and
right.
And all of a sudden, you're saying that you came in on a horse, and you know,
right.
That has absolutely nothing to do with what actually occurred.
Right, right. You go ahead.
Oh, do you want me to? Okay. So I would say that. In terms of if a victim's testifying or we have a witness testifying, we always certainly work to prepare them and let mm-hmm. them know that if there's a question that they don't understand or right. that doesn't make sense, to just simply say that and let folks know. And can you ask that in a different way? And, you know, we present testimony of young children at times, and it's no different for them as it might be for the most sophisticated of adults. And I think sometimes there is a strategy from the defense perspective to sort of kind of confuse. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not intentional all the time, but it certainly can happen. But I think we do try to ensure that victims are as prepared as possible and that they're aware that if there's something they don't understand, that the best thing to do is not to guess, but just right. let everyone know.
Yeah.
Some of the preliminary work that's done, wait, that preliminary probably has a technical definition. Let me step back. Some of the discussions that occur before uh-huh. the courtroom, how's
yeah.
that
yeah.
setting? Do folks understand, as being a victim, that they are going to have to share whatever the event was, that mm-hmm. they're going to have to be really sharing in a public space?
Yeah, so that's, again, like going back to what I said before about that we try our really hard to manage expectations of what we're going to expect of them and what the, not just what we expect of them, but what the system expects of them in order for them to, you know, get some sort of justice or for this case to go forward. So we, you know, let people know pretty much right off the bat, you know, if we get to a point of preliminary hearing or we get to a point of jury trial, you're going to have to get up there and, you know, testify. We are more than happy to have, you know, we have meetings with them beforehand to prep them on, you know, what that kind of looks like so they can ask any questions that they have. So, you know, to try and make them feel a little bit, you know, less anxious or feel better about it, just to get as much information as they can. But yeah, I think that our office with the advocates, as well, like I said, with the deputy DAs, are very good with working with them and saying, you know, this is what the process is, this is what to expect, and this is how we operate, and we're going to do, you know, I frequently use the phrase, we're going to do everything we can to make this really uncomfortable situation as comfortable as possible. And so if there's something that we're not doing that you think would be helpful, let us know. And if we can do that, we will do that.
Obviously, when you're dealing with the youngsters, uh-huh. it's a little different than, I guess, oldsters.
Right.
Are there concerns similar, though?
The caseload that I carry, I work with those over the age of 18 more often than not. I know Stacy works more with the kiddos, so I don't have that firsthand experience with the kiddos, but I would imagine that the concerns are kind of similar.
I think a lot of the concerns are very much the similar, and you know, in terms of the advice that I would convey to child witnesses and versus adult witnesses is oftentimes the same, and ultimately it's just you have one job and one job only, right. And that is to tell the truth.
Yep.
And so, and I'm just there to help you share your story and share what happened to you. So it's very, very much the same. And sometimes the adults sort of project their stresses and their worries upon the child. And that's just one thing we try to keep under control.
It's 8:30.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show. Weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County District Attorney Stacy Eads, at least at the end of each segment we are, and Michaela Pellerin, who handles or is involved with victim and witness. Is there a team approach to folks in these situations?
Yeah, so we have multiple victim advocates in our division, and then there are how many WDAs do we have now?
Right now, we should have about 18 total, but we're not fully staffed.
Okay, so it is a team approach, and we have investigators as well. So it is a team approach where there's usually, if not three of us, then two of us. So a victim advocate, a deputy DA, and then an investigator is usually like that kind of team of people. So if there's not an investigator involved, then it's at least a deputy DA and an advocate that's helping. So it is a team approach in that sense. It's also just a team approach in as far as the office itself, the victim advocates. We, you know, we'll bounce ideas off of each other and help each other out. We'll step in if necessary if, you know, one person has some, you know, a big trial or something like that, but we have our other caseload. We do step in and, you know, I know that the deputy DAs do the same thing, so it is a team effort.
That's why I was wondering if you had one case that was, or situation that was either very complicated or very elongated. I wouldn't think the best approach would be to pass people back and forth to folks.
Right.
So unless initially it's set up and said, this is your team.
Right. So it's not so much, we try to avoid kind of like the passing back and forth, but sometimes it just, you can't help that if, you know, a victim advocate has a case that's going to trial and you have a regular caseload, you know, with other cases of, you know, preliminary hearings or trial confirmations, all that kind of stuff. So it is a team effort in that sense that we really step in and help each other out when necessary. But you're right, we do try to keep, you know, their team as stationary as possible. But that's always going to be their go-to person for questions. Sometimes, you know, if I'm the advocate on a case, but I can't be there, another advocate can step in just for that hearing. But they still know that I'm their home base, essentially. And so we do that, and we try our best to, or I know that since COVID is kind of still here, obviously, but, you know, laxing a little bit, getting back out into the community and doing community outreach so that the community knows that we're here.
You mean the road shows?
Yes. Okay. and Arts Alive and being involved in other agencies.
See how many people you can scare at Safeway?
just letting people know that we're here as a resource, because it's unfortunate, but I understand it, but it's unfortunate how many people make contact with us and they're like, I didn't even know that you were a thing. And I didn't even know that it was a thing until I started working here either. So, but it's a really good resource. Even if you're not necessarily a listed victim of a crime, if you have questions, you can call us about, you know, what the process entails. You know, if you have questions about law enforcement or reporting a crime, you know, and you're not sure about calling yet, you can call us and we can kind of talk. So just letting people know that we're there.
What qualifies as being a victim?
Not necessarily what qualifies as being a victim, but some people have questions about, you know, I haven't reported this, but I, you know, I want to get a restraining order. What does that entail? Just general questions. We just reported this crime. So there's a hopefully police report, you know, on its way there, but I want to get in contact with you guys first. So really getting out into the community for people to know that we're there, before something, you know, bad happens.
How prevalent is, it's tough to lump everything to victimhood.
Uh-huh.
Is it, you know, for a lot of us, we may see it but not recognize it?
Right. So I think that it's, you know, it's prevalent in the sense that there are, unfortunately, you know, crimes not going away. So there are lots of crimes, and frequently those crimes have victims. I think it also depends on, you know, that person's personal standpoint. You know, I have plenty of people who say, you know, I don't view myself as a victim. You know, I'm not interested in being a part of the process because I don't view myself that way. So that's why we use victim and survivor interchangeably, because sometimes survivor is a more accepted word or title for them. And so we try, you know, we respect that. But it's, I would say, like, as prevalent as crime is. And it really depends the severity of the crime, the severity of the, you know, the victimization or the victimhood or what have you. I don't know if that answered your question at all.
No, but it took a couple minutes. We're okay. Does, obviously, the criminal justice system mm-hmm. recognizes mm-hmm. your role.
Right.
It's intriguing that a lot of society doesn't, or the culture doesn't.
Right. And I think it's just because there are a lot of people who are just afraid of the, you know, the system and the you know, law enforcement, and we're very easily seen as law enforcement or being tied directly to law enforcement because we're for prosecution. But yeah, it's definitely, I don't think it's something that the general public knows about. And so what is a thing that's actually nationally recognized as Victims of Crime Week, which is this month. So it's April 23rd to the 29th, I believe. And each year they kind of have a theme, and this year is Survivors' Voices Elevate and Engage. So getting information out there about, you know, how to cope with, you know, victimization and survivorhood, and all of those kinds of things. And then the month of April is a kind of a big one in general for victims and survivors. So we have the Victim of Crimes or Crime Victims Week. And then April is also recognized as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, as well as Child Abuse Prevention Month. So we're trying to do some engagement with the community around those kinds of things as well this month.
So that's why you're here.
So that's part of why we're here.
It wasn't that you just wanted to be here, huh?
Well, I've been so wanting to meet you. That's also a part of it.
Yeah. That's a line I haven't heard lately. Oh, boy. So as people become aware mm-hmm. of what your job is,
mm-hmm.
are they surprised, taken aback, stunned and amazed?
Yeah, I think surprised, taken aback in a good way, because it is commonly, you know, thought, or people have, you know, I think it's common knowledge that there are a lot of underreported crimes because people don't want to be, you know, viewed as a victim or blamed or anything like that. And so I think people are pleasantly surprised and happy to see that there are people here that are there for them. And are there with, and our sole purpose is to try and help them as much as we possibly can. And I think another thing too is that is a misconception as far as what we do is that even if there isn't, say there's a police report, but it doesn't happen to be filed, there's no charges that are going through court, we can still assist people. So we have resources through a compensation board that's a state-funded board that we help people with a lot. So you don't necessarily have to be going through a criminal case in order to receive those services that can assist with, you know, mental health, medical, things like that, if there were any injuries incurred. And so there's that kind of common misconception, too. Even if you just have a restraining order and there's been, you know, violations from that person, we can still assist. We don't require you to be going through the court process or for the charges to be filed. I have, you know, many clients that the case hasn't been filed. But we can still assist them through you know, that process and, you know, kind of understanding what's going on and helping them in other ways, even if we're not going to be going through court.
What about some of the folks that are tough as nails now?
Mm-hmm.
Go through, okay, 5 years from now, mm-hmm. all of a sudden something triggers, mm-hmm. you know, some kind of a delayed situation. Yeah. Do you want to talk with them too?
Yeah, so we, and that happens a lot too, where, you know, say there's some sort of assault, you know, now, and then 5 years down the line, or if they were a child, and then 5 years down the line, they've, you know, come of age, or they want to talk about it, or they want mental health services. That's definitely something that we can assist with, and we have, you know, no problem talking with people. And I think our main focus is that, you know, no matter what time you're comfortable talking about it, we're just, you know, glad that you're, one, that you're safe and you're comfortable enough to talk with us about it, and that you're seeking help, because that's a big issue as well, is that, you know, people think that they're in it alone. And I think that spans through, you know, all kinds of crime. People think that they have to do it on their own.
You suck it up and run
yeah, by yeah. And I think, you know, society has kind of made that seem like a running theme and an accurate theme, which it's, you know, there are plenty of people, not just us, just other people in the community too, other agencies that are there to help those people out and to try, like I said, try and make an uncomfortable experience as, you know, comfortable and easy as we possibly can, which is, you know, hard to do, but we try to do the best that we can for that.
Kind of like this show.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time. Okay, maybe.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:49. We're back, final segment this morning with Stacey Eads and Michaela Pellerin. With the designations of this month,
mm-hmm.
next week, I guess, not this week. No, 2 weeks. Today's only the 13th, huh?
Yep, right.
All right, it's slowing down.
March went by quick, and April's taking its time.
Yeah, seems that way, doesn't it? Are there opportunities for community involvement? I mean, you talked about going to some of the various events and mm-hmm. at least being available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have a uniform, so I don't know how people would recognize that you're there. But a chance for folks to just kind of hang out, talk, see what's going on?
Yeah, so there is a day, it's a nationally, I think internationally, recognized day as well. It's called Denim Day, and it's to show solidarity for sexual assault survivors and victims alike. It was put in place, or it kind of became a thing in 1992 in relation to a rape case that was overturned in Italy, because there was a rape case that he was convicted, sent to jail, and then on appeal, it was brought to light that the jeans that she was wearing at the time were tight jeans, which, you know, wrongfully implied that she would have had to have taken the jeans off, which implied consent, so that conviction was overturned. So after that occurred, Italian Parliament wore denim jeans to show support and solidarity for her in particular, and then it kind of, you know, became a global support for sexual assault survivors and victims. And so we participate in that. And I think that's a good way to, you know, create engagement within your community or your workplace to, you know, start that conversation and make that, you know, aware and a topic of conversation. There are, you know, different corporate partners that support Denim Day and help out, such as U.S. Bank, Sony, all different kinds of things. So it is a global, a globally recognized thing. And I think it's a, you know, a small way, but an impactful way at the same time to get the general public involved and get that conversation going, because it's not, like I was saying to Stacey, it's not the cheeriest topic, but it's a reality in the world and in our society that these things happen, and, you know, they happen very all too frequently. So it's something that, you know, the more that we talk about it and bring awareness of it, you know, hopefully the idea is to slow the spigot.
Is there an opportunity if somebody has questions, can they just give you a buzz in the office, or?
Yeah, I mean, if people have questions about, you know, what we do, we're more than happy to have conversations. People can call into us or the DA's office and ask questions about our organization.
Aren't you part of the DA's office?
We are. we have two separate offices, but we are the same thing.
Okay. So most of us can remember DA a whole lot easier than...
Right, yep.
The big title.
Yes, Victim Witness Program through the Humboldt County DA's office. Yeah,
yeah, that one. Well, hopefully this wasn't too traumatic and you achieved one of your life goals.
Yes, to meet you.
To meet me. All right. See everybody tomorrow.